When Jesus speaks, we listen and we follow. He is the source of our lives, and without him, we would be forever lost. And so when Jesus speaks, we listen. And he speaks these words quite frequently throughout the scriptures, "Come, follow me." Usually when he speaks, his words will hurt. Consequences will be utterly damaging, detrimental, and shocking. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way. He says, "When Jesus says to you, 'Come, follow me,' he bids a man to die to himself, to die to his earthly possessions, to die to everything that would get in the way of following him." So when he speaks and his words hurt, we're tempted to ignore him. And some do, to their own detriment and damnation, because his words will cost you too much. Last week we saw a man who had so many great possessions, and Jesus came to him and spoke those words, "Come, follow me." He bid the man to die to all of his earthly possessions and to follow him, and yet the man did not listen. All the treasures of the world meant more to him than the one treasure of heaven who stood before his very eyes. Disheartened by Jesus' word, he walked away, sorrowful. And while he had much to live on, he would have nothing that would last beyond the grave. Just as he came into this world, so he would leave it, naked and with nothing, Ecclesiastes tells us. For he who loves money will never be satisfied with money. The man put his trust in earthly treasure. All earthly treasures that eventually fade away or are given away to the one after you, or even worse, Ecclesiastes tells us, lost in a bad business venture. Yet Jesus was gracious enough to call this man to a life of repentance and faith in him. And yet he ignored him. When Jesus speaks, you and I were tempted to ignore him too. And so often we do. Or we will jump to hasty conclusions that happen to be a little bit more convenient for me, make things a little bit easier on ourselves. Another man comes up to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Come, follow me." And the man says to him, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go home and bury my father." See, the man would follow Jesus, but in his own time and in his own way. He still had a very important thing to do, bury his father. And of course, Jesus would understand. So he concluded that Jesus' invitation was more of an open invitation, one that was always kind of there, one he could take up whenever it was more convenient for him, at least more convenient than the present. And yet, Jesus spoke and the man did not listen. He hardened his heart, and Jesus responds, "Let the dead bury their own dead." So another man jumps in front of the line. He says, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say farewell to those in my home." We sinners have a very hard time listening when Jesus speaks, because his words can be very painful, or our earthly possessions can become too powerful. So we will ignore him or jump to our own conclusions. And all the while, we forget what he even said so plainly, so clearly, so unapologetically. "Come, follow me." When Jesus speaks, we still have all these things that I still need to hold on to, all these things that I still need to build, all these things that I still need to do. And yet God repeatedly warns us in the scriptures that all these things, all these earthly possessions, that they will never satisfy. They're a chasing after the wind. They're vanity. And even worse, they can become a hindrance to the very kingdom of God. It's an utter evil, God says, to take the things that are second or third or fourth and to make them first. The gradual accumulation of anything of this world can turn into a very powerful idol. And idols are not to be toyed with. They are to be overthrown, knocked over, given up. So how do I know if I'm keeping the second thing second? How do I know if I'm overthrowing them? Here's a suggestion. Give something away. Put your finger on something that has become too important and knock it over. Give it up. Give it to your neighbor who needs it more than you. And be free from that specific piece of vanity. Because God's gifts are just that, God's gifts. They are not yours, they are His. And everything belongs to Christ. Everything. He's the source of your life. And all the gifts of our Heavenly Father rest right there in our Savior. Forgiveness and life and salvation, they are all His, and He comes to give them to you by His perfect life and suffering and death and resurrection from the grave so that you would receive them by faith alone in Him. So put a needle in the eye of our culture and in your own sinful flesh and leave it behind. And look to Christ alone, the one treasure of heaven. He has all things needful for you, no matter what this world may give or take away from you. Everything is His, including you and all your many things. He gave them to you so that you would be satisfied and so that you would look to Him as the one who gives all good things. All glory belongs to Him, not unto us. All things are His. Luther writes that because of our sin, he says, we should only expect the worst evil to befall us. It's what we deserve. And it's what this world and Satan are so good at giving. Not that we set the bar as low as it can go. We expect the very worst of evil to befall us. And that way, when God gives you a blessing, like in a child who's obedient, or a faithful spouse, or a good harvest, or food on your table, or a roof over your head, or a peace of mind, or good sleep, you ought to immediately stop and give thanks to God as the one who has given you a good gift, even though you deserved none of it. And when He comes to speak His good word to you, you stop and you listen. And you follow, as the disciples did, who had their very livelihood in their hands when Jesus approached them, tending to their nets, gathering in fish, growing their successful fishing family business, spending time with their father in their own boats, growing and laughing and loving life. They were content and at peace. And Jesus came up to them and said, come, follow me. And immediately they dropped their nets. They dropped everything and they followed Him because they knew that He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the Messiah. He was their everything. And at that moment, nothing else mattered to them. All that mattered was Christ and to follow Him, the source of their life and salvation. They easily gave up everything and followed Him. A son was cleaning out his grandmother's closet after she had passed away. He stumbled across a Bible that she owned, and he opened it up to the cover page. And there, handwritten on the page, were these words. Lord Jesus, teach me to rise above the world's mockery, hatred, and threats, knowing that even if I should be deprived of some temporary advantage, the world can never rob me of Thy grace and care. The world cannot rob you of your Savior's gifts. Everything is His, and He is yours, so that in Christ, everything needful has been given to you. And so He speaks, "Come, follow me." The Lord speaks. May the Holy Spirit give you ears to listen and feet to follow Him so plainly, so clearly, so unapologetically. Amen.